All right. Well, if you could find a seat, hug somebody to their chair. I'm going to tell a joke. I never tell jokes, but this joke is for Matt. I heard he was golfing today, and there was this preacher. And he loved to golf, and he was in a season of his life that he wasn't enjoying church a lot. How many know, have you ever been in a situation, you know, and you can be honest, this is the refuge, we're all friends, we're family. This is your first time here, if you come back, you're family. But if you go to church long enough, I guarantee there'll be fans somewhere. I guarantee at some point you'll be sitting there some night, some morning, some Wednesday, whenever the group's meeting, and you'll have this moment of, I wonder why I'm really here. And I think Pastor David, it was with this Sunday you mentioned that or whatever, huh? You mentioned something this Sunday that, you know, you get in a spot like you don't want to be here, you know, at church or whatever. It was this Sunday, and Harold's like, one of our staff members, it's like, but it happens. And this pastor, but it's really bad when you're the pastor and you don't want to be at church. And so he called out, and he decided he wasn't going, and he called somebody last minute, had him cover the pulpit for him, and he went golfing. And he's out in the golf course, and the angels in heaven were watching him, and they're watching this guy, and they're like, and then one angel goes, isn't that guy the preacher of like the church down the street? And they're like, yeah. He shouldn't be out here golfing. He's the preacher. And the one angel goes, you watch. I'm going to get him. You just watch. It'll be a game of golf this man will never forget. So he gets up there, and I've only golfed like once or twice, and that was like with hockey sticks, you know, so it didn't really count. But so he gets up there, right, and literally puts it up, tees it up, gets his driver out, hole in one, first shot. Right? About halfway through, he is like literally playing the best game of golf in his life. And then one angel looks at him, the other angel, and says, I thought you were going to get him. He goes, just wait, I am. And the guy's playing through, right? And sure enough, you know, like the last hole, same way, best game of his life. He just same way, tees it up, hole in one. Unbelievable. The angel says, I thought you were going to like really mess with this guy. He says, oh, I did. Who's he going to tell? Just shot the best game of golf in his life, and who's he going to tell? Nobody, because he should have been in church. But Matt, you made it. It's good to see you. But one day I'll go out there, and guys at work are starting to golf at Why Not, and it's hilarious. So, because on breaks, you see him out there like practicing like on the grass behind the store. It's like, it must be addictive or something. It's kind of funny watching him. Well, welcome to the Refuge. We have an event coming up in August. And I don't know if there's anybody here that can, I don't have any flyers yet for it, but we're doing a benefit here on a Saturday. And it's tacos and pajamas. And it's a $5 event, and there's going to be artists here, and they're going to be basically doing a silent auction, donating some of their art. There'll be some musicians playing and stuff, and the whole event is to raise money for the International Justice Mission, correct? All right. And we want to do that every month, and I promise you we'll be more prepared with information, because we want you to take it outside of the Refuge and invite a whole lot of people to come in once a month, and we'll pick a particular ministry or a need, in the area. We're already looking at doing a thing in November, blankets for the homeless. And I was just praying through it. And I'd like the refuge to be able to come up with 1,000 blankets. Now, you do the math. That's a lot of blankets per person here, which means we're going to have to gather a whole lot of people and get some help. But we want to bring this ministry in and do a benefit for them because they're out on the streets giving blankets to the homeless and giving them food. And I'm going to try to get our whole church home, you know, Harvest and our link groups involved. We're going to make a big push in November. And we'll also do, in November, we'll do our Thanksgiving dinner thing here too, which, and if you're here last year, it was just amazing what happened. So keep your eyes open for that August event, and we'll have more information hopefully next week. Well, I've been doing a series of messages this all summer called Downloading God's Apps for Life, like a phone, and on your apps on your phone. And 2 weeks ago, I decided to do downloading the Love app, and I approached it from a direction I've never preached on here at the Refuge, and not sure I've actually ever really preached on it. And the whole concept was in week one was understanding God, who He is, because if you understand who He is, it kind of helps you understand how to relate to Him, you know. And I shared the whole principle. According to the Word, and we shared a bunch of scriptures, that God was the bridegroom God. And that one of the way God reveals Himself and relates to us as those He's created is as a bridegroom God. Jesus is the bridegroom, and the church, the body of Christ, those who believe in Christ, are the bride of Christ. And we went through that, and we began to see how God not only loves us, but He likes us. And we showed a bunch of scriptures and how literally God's nuts about us. And that was week one. Because I said, if you begin, and I shared some personal stuff, how I understood God as Father and Master and King. And I was a good soldier and a servant, even a father in the harvest, or a farmer in the harvest. But I didn't know how to love God. These songs we just sang tonight in worship, I would have sat there thinking, I don't get it. I've got no grid for any kind of emotional love with God. And yet the Lord said, love Me with all your mind, all your strength, all your heart, all your soul. So there was a whole part of who God had made me and how He created me that was not getting in touch with God. As a result, I was getting really tired and worn out, and there was just a lot of stuff that went with that. So week one, we looked at the whole paradigm of Jesus Christ being the bridegroom God who loves us and one day is coming back for us. Last week, we looked at the principle, okay, if He's the bridegroom God and He loves us, then how, knowing that, how should we respond to Him? What should our attitude be in response to that? For example, if God's your Father, then you approach Him a certain way, you know, and even in the scripture, and we might talk about that one day, you know, it says, Jesus says, pray to Him like our Father who art in heaven, and that word Father is literally not like, you know, holy, scary, mean father, dude, it's daddy, it's papa. And so you relate to Him in a certain way. So we talked about last week, how do you relate to God as a bridegroom? And I said, one of the points that should come out of that is you should want to spend time with Him. You should want to draw near to Him. You should want to pursue a relationship with Him, understanding He's pursuing you. And it's amazing how many young adults now, maybe just because I have so many young adult friends on Facebook and just in the city, because I've been a youth pastor like forever, how many of them are getting engaged and getting married. And when they get married, they just let the whole world know. And even this afternoon was a big moment in our family's life. My daughter-in-law-to-be, it was her bridal shower. How many of you girls here, you know, you remember the bridal shower? You remember when all your girlfriends came over and they celebrated with you? And it's just there was like 30 ladies, I think, in my house, and it was packed, and there was nowhere to park in the streets, and we were parking in the lawn ourselves, and all these girls were laughing and giggling and having a good time celebrating with my daughter-in-law-to-be, Jamie, the fact that her bridegroom, within about 5 or 6 weeks, is going to marry her. And she looked at me and she says, Dad, this has got to be the best day of my life. And it's my birthday. But beyond my birthday, Dad, I'm getting married. And I'm like, yeah, Jamie. And she, I'm sure, there's pictures all over Facebook that would be, because in Instagram, she just lets the whole world know. And that's one of my points last week. One of the things is you ought to want to spend time with God, But you ought to also want everybody in the world to know how amazing that bridegroom Jesus is. It shouldn't be this legalistic thing. Oh, I got to share my faith so people don't burn in hell one day. You know, I got to give them the four spiritual laws, turn or burn. I got to lay the gospel on them. And, you know, and if they don't receive it, that's their problem, and you move on. And, you know, and there's people who like to present Jesus that way. But the reality is that's not, I don't think that's God's heart. God's heart is he's wooing us. He's passionately pursuing us. And when you connect with that, you ought to be like all of these engaged girls all over the city saying, hey, look at this ring. And you ought to be wanting to tell everybody about this guy named Jesus and what's so amazing about him. Now, I've watched some of these girls talk about some of these guys who are marrying, how amazing they are. And I'm thinking, shoo, love is definitely approaching blindness. Because the reality is, a human male guy thing is not nearly as amazing as Jesus Christ is, and the man Jesus. And yet, we can talk so amazing about each other and just kind of downplay him a little bit. We ought to be bragging about how amazing this Jesus guy is. And you know what? Can you imagine a newly engaged girl saying, well, if the subject comes up, I'll tell him I'm engaged. If you don't bring it up, they're bringing it up. It's just the way it is. And if you don't like it, that's okay. I'll go find somebody else who does. They're not shy about it. And I think something needs to change in the body of Christ. We need to become so in love with Jesus Christ that it's easy for us to talk about him. Well, my next point is, week one is, how does God see us? How do we relate to him? If God is that crazy about us and loves us that much, and we're trying to spend time with him and love him, then my third point this week on the Love app, and then we'll move on next week to the Forgiveness app, is how should that affect how we relate to each other? Should it change the way I respond and react to you? Should it change how you respond to your family, your friends, the people you work with, the people in your church, the people outside the church? And I would say, yeah, it really should. Do you remember when Jesus is trying to sum up the whole thing and he says, the guy says, I want to know what this whole God thing is, following you is. And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. But then he goes right on the next thing and says, and the next one is just like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the Bible says we love because God first loved us. So if we really are getting impacted by this concept of a bridegroom God, it really should change the way we respond to each other in a very natural, healthy way. Point number one, and this should be slide four if you're following with me. We should be careful how we talk about other churches. They are his bride too. Have you ever heard a Christian or a church talk bad or negatively about another Christian or another church? Here's the problem with that. That's Jesus's bride. And most guys I know don't take it too kindly if you talk smack about their bride. And if they do, and they just ignore it, usually the bride is like, hey, wait a minute, aren't you going to what? Defend my honor? It's kind of like it's not okay to talk bad about another man's wife. Have you ever seen a guy who married a girl and you were thinking, you are out of your mind? What were you thinking? What do you see in her? What is it that you like about her? She's, and you go on the whole thing, And he looks at you and says, shut up, dude. That's my wife, man. I love her. I think sometimes we as Christians can look at other churches and say, that church, that other church over there, they are so, and you fill in the blanks. And I think God would look at it and say, whoa, time out, shut your mouth. That's my bride, and I am nuts about her. Now, hopefully you're happily married. And some of you probably would think, I don't think I'd be happily married to some other woman or some other guy's wife, seeing the way they are. But you don't need to be. You just need to be in love with the one you're with. The reality is, Jesus loves the Methodists and the Baptists and the Independents and the Charismatics and the Pentecostals and the Lutherans and the Episcopalians. Why? Because they're his bride, and he's madly in love with them. There's this guy, I think his name's Chris Valentin, and he made a comment in a conference one time, and we are Protestants here, and some of you might not know what that is, and if you don't, that's a really good thing. But the point is, because what it means is this, some of that stuff doesn't matter to you, and we Protestants have a real problem with the Catholic Church sometimes, and we have a tendency to talk less than positive about the Catholic Church. And Chris Valentin made a comment similar to this. He said, you know, guys, you need to be careful, man. If you talk bad about my mama, I'd get upset. My mama might have problems. She might not have been the great mom, my greatest mom in the world, but she's my mom. Don't talk bad about my mom. And all of you Protestants sitting here, your mama was the Catholic Church. You wouldn't exist without her. We were all birthed out of her. So we should be careful how we talk about our mama. If we understand the bridegroom paradigm, and we understand every Christian is his bride and every church is a part of that bride, then the one point we should be very careful is how we talk about it. In Colossians 4:6, it says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to you ought to answer each person. When somebody walks up to you and says, man, what do you think about such and such church? The first thought after tonight should be, you know what? Let me be careful with that, because that's his bride I'm about to comment on. Let my speech be gracious. Let it be gracious. There are so many divisions, church splits, and problems in the body of Christ because of what people have said with their mouth. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4 says, when one of you says, I'm on Paul's side, and another one says, I'm on Apollos, I'm for Apollos, aren't you being totally infantile? Well, I'm Baptist, or I'm charismatic, or I'm spirit-filled, or I'm a word person, or I'm this, or I'm that. You're implying, when you have that attitude, and you're not this, and you're not that, you're implying that you're better than they are. You're implying that you've got it more together. And even if we do, or you think you do, that is still his bride. And our speech should always, always, always be gracious towards them. I would love to raise up a refuge community here of a bunch of messed up people like we are, who try to love each other really well, who become extremely missional in the next 12 months, where we go out and touch a lot of people's lives. And even if the entire city and half of the other churches in town were to criticize us, there would never be a negative word that came out of our community towards any of them. Where somebody one day would stop and say, you know, I hear you badmouth them all the time, but you know, I've never, ever heard the Refuge Church ever say anything negative about any other church in this city, ever. Because they actually believe you're a part of his bride. And guess what? I would not like you to choose my bride. You want to, how many guys here want someone to choose your bride for you? No. Well, Matt does. It was like, the ones you're picking aren't working out. Right. But I approached my daughters in this concept once, and they weren't too keen on the idea. I had a real problem with religious people. Let's just say this. Let's look at slide 6, point 2. Now we should be careful what we say. Being careful with our tongue isn't enough. We should be careful how we treat his bride beyond nice words. And part of my transition of God healing my heart back in 2005, sitting in that prayer room, is I had to realize that, you want to know what? A lot of the people who didn't like me, and a lot of people maybe who spoke ill things of me, God picked them. They were his bride. He handpicked them. So if I have an issue with them, I should have an issue with him, because he picked them. And I began to realize that, guess what? Everybody I sit in church with and I worship with and everybody who claims Jesus as their Savior and Lord, I didn't pick them. He did. And he has the right to pick whomever he wants. True? Just like you had the right to pick your bride, guys. He has a choice to pick his. And so I had to look there and say, if Jesus picked you, or he picked me, or he picked that person or that church, then he has a purpose for them. And I don't even need to know what it is. I just need to know they're valuable in his sight. He's madly in love with them. He's dancing over them. He's rejoicing over them. He's nuts over them, even though they don't like me. And so I learned I have to be really careful. All of a sudden, my heart changed towards them. And all of a sudden, I actually liked them, liked hanging out with them. Now, I'll be honest, there's still probably people in the body of Christ that don't want to get real close and cozy with me, because certain things I do and the way I live out my faith is just a little hard for them. But one thing, if they spend enough time with me now, they realize, you know, Pastor Mike really does love us. And guess what happens then? Oftentimes, those that are opposed to you, because your speech is gracious and you're acting in kindness towards them, their heart will turn towards you, and then we can fellowship together, even though we're different. Look at this verse. It's found in Colossians again, and it's found in Colossians chapter 3. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion. Now, we're about ready to get dressed, all right? That's what you got to put on. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you're called to peace. And look at this, and be thankful. Now let's look at some of the things he wants us to put on. Compassion. To who? Specifically, every single person in the body of Christ, regardless of denomination or theology. Kindness. Humility. Have you ever thought that maybe you're just a little smarter, a little holier, and a little better than somebody else? That's not humility. Someone says, well, yeah, but it's sound judgment. It's not humility. Patience. Gentleness. Bearing with each other. Do you realize you don't have to bear with somebody you agree with? You don't have to bear with somebody who's easy to get along with. Bearing with somebody is when it's a challenge. Forgiving each other. To the same degree that Jesus Christ has forgiven you. What has he forgiven you of? What has he forgiven you of? Everything. So what do you forgive your brother and sister in Christ for? Everything. Every time. All the time. You know, this gets really hard when your brother and sister in Christ are married to you or live in your house or you're related to them. Do you realize that your family members who know Jesus are the bride of Christ that he's nuts over? All the time. Above all, put on love. It keeps the unity. Be at peace. And I wrote down in my notes, we don't have to have it all figured out. Now, granted, that's easier for me than some of you. I got it. But a note to self, you don't have to have it all figured out. I don't know is an okay answer sometimes. All right, point number three. How should relating to the bridegroom God affect us? We shouldn't want every single person we meet at some point one day to want to be at the wedding supper and the great celebration. We should invite everybody. Look at this parable of the great banquet in Luke 14. Jesus replied, a certain man is preparing a great banquet, and he invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. That's the new 350Z or 370Z. I bought myself a new, not oxen, but you put that in there, a new boat. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered the servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there's still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country, the lanes, and compel them to come in so that my house shall be full. I tell you, not one of those who are invited will get a taste of my banquet. Why does Jesus want more people? Because I think he loves them. And he really cares about them. And he wants heaven filled to overflowing for the great wedding feast. Now, what happens if you start inviting people? And we have a couple here tonight, and I always like to ask this question. It's like, how'd you find us? And the young lady says, actually, some like Filipino Asian dude just started talking me to at the mall and invited me here. So I looked it up and I found it. How cool is that? Have you ever invited somebody to church or invited them to have a relationship with Christ and they made an excuse? Ever? Yeah, me too. Lots of times, right? Lots of times. Well, don't get discouraged. You know what the master didn't say? Yeah, you tried. That's good. Don't worry about it. We'll just, we got enough people here now. We're done. He goes, no, man, there's a lot more room. So they went back out. I'd encourage you, just keep inviting them. Don't be obnoxious, but just invite them. Hey, I'd love to see you. I'd love to hang out with you. And finally, if those you invite don't come, invite somebody else. Some of you, you've been trying to invite the same people over and over into a relationship with Christ, and they're tired of listening to you. Now, I wouldn't stop inviting them, maybe a few less. Go invite somebody else. Do you think these people knew all these people, these lame, these blind, the poor, the highway? They didn't know them. They just went and invited them. And then the house was full. Three things tonight, right? Be careful what you say about the bride. Be careful what you do and how you act towards the bride. And always be inviting more people to be a part of it. In review, God is a bridegroom God who is nuts over you and me. Because he is nuts about us, we should be nuts about him. And proof of our love of God is demonstrated in how we love other people. In my pursuit in college of learning the Bible and studying theology and learning more stuff, all I wanted to do was know more so I could be smarter and argue with all the other Christian groups on the campus and the Mormons and the Moonies and all the cults. And I began to pursue knowledge and apologetics so I could argue my faith. And then the guy who was discipling me and taught me how to read the word and how to memorize scripture, he pulled me aside one day. I'll never forget. His name is Greg Bonata. And we're sitting at Michigan State University at the student union, the steps. He says, Mike, my heart's heavy for you. Why? I said, because you're pursuing knowledge for all the wrong reasons. You should be pursuing the knowledge of God so that you know him better, so you can love him better and let him love you better, not so you can have a club to beat other people up with. And then he shared a verse with me. He says, Mike, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Always love more than you know. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are a bridegroom God who is pursuing us. May we be a bride who responds to pursue you. And in your pursuit of us and our pursuit of you, may it truly change our hearts and how we respond to other people. Lord, forgive us for ever speaking less than positive or less than gracious about any other believer ever. Lord, forgive us right now in this room. Lord, we're sorry. May we today be a people and a community that always builds up and speaks well of the body of Christ and all of its expressions. And Father, every day when we walk through this world you put us in, may we in our heart ask, I wonder if that person would like to be a part of the bride, and always be looking for opportunities to encourage them to join us in our pursuit of our King. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Hang out. Love on somebody. See you next Sunday.